you very much. It's a pleasure to be here to speak to you all. The first thing I should probably say is, even though I have a background in submarine reactors, I can tell you a civil nuclear reactor is very, very different from a submarine reactor. So what we are not doing in Rolls-Royce SMR is taking a submarine reactor and putting it on land. That would be a bit of a silly thing to do, both economically and practically. So I do have a few slides, but I will just go through very quickly. What I want to talk about this afternoon is how Rolls-Royce SMR are contributing to the energy security, strategy and the net zero strategy for the UK, but not just for the UK, but also the rest of the world as well. And as we've talked about, my name is Sophie McFarlane-Smith. I'm in Rolls-Royce SMR Limited. Now, first of all, for anyone out there who's wondering why on earth a car manufacturer is getting involved in making nuclear power stations, first of all, sadly, it's been quite a few years since Rolls-Royce made cars. And secondly, for those who don't know, Rolls-Royce has been involved in designing and manufacturing and operating small nuclear plants for over 60 years for the UK submarine programme. So we have significant experience in manufacturing reactors. If you go to Derby, we have several manufacturing plants, we have test facilities that we run in the country. And we have taken that expertise, that knowledge of how to design and operate small nuclear plants, and now translated that into the civil world. But we're not alone. As you can see there, Rolls-Royce is the majority shareholder in the Rolls-Royce SMR Limited company, but we do have other shareholders. So we have Constellation Energy, who were previously known as Exelon, the US energy utility company. They run the majority, have a very significant fleet of nuclear plant that they operate in the US. And we also have BNF Resources and the Qatar Investment Authority as our shareholders. So again, just a quick overview of why on earth is Rolls-Royce doing civil reactors. Now, what I'm not going to talk about is why we need nuclear reactors, because I think hopefully most people in the room are aware that the world, the UK and the world, has a very significant challenge with respect to decarbonisation. And most solutions for decarbonisation, whether it's for electricity, heating or transport, most solutions that we currently have in place need electricity, and they need lots and lots of electricity at vast scale. And therefore, we understand, hopefully, again, I hope you'll agree with me, that nuclear power can generate vast quantities of low-carbon power very efficiently. And therefore, the question is not, do we need nuclear power as part of our solution, but actually, how do we get more of it as quickly as possible, and as affordably as possible? And that is the challenge that we face in the world today. How can we roll out this technology that we know is good, that Julia's talked about, is already working in operation in the UK and around the world for decades? How can we get more of it as fast as possible? And this is what Rolls-Royce SMR is doing. So Rolls-Royce is looking at a new way of bringing nuclear power to the market. And we believe the best way to achieve this is to use proven nuclear technology, proven pressurized water reactor technology that's in operation today around the world, but delivering it in a different way, delivering it as a standardized manufactured product, turning it into a commodity from a one-off infrastructure project. And the UK and Rolls-Royce SMR is doing just that. We're turning nuclear power from a mega infrastructure project into a manufactured commodity. And how are we doing that? Well, for one thing, we're looking at not just the nuclear island. So we are not a traditional technology vendor. We are actually delivering the complete power station rather than just the nuclear island. And we are delivering it in a modularized way. So just to talk about this modularization approach, we're taking the whole of the power station that you can see up there and chunking it into different modules, around 1,600 modules. If you can imagine the whole power station chunked up into what we might call Lego bricks. That's exactly what we're doing. And each of these modules has a different function, and each of these modules is road transportable. So what we're doing is we're making sure, how can we manufacture this in a repeatable way? How can we deliver this in the simplest, most cost-effective way possible, i.e. through roads, so we don't need to build new infrastructure where we're going to build the plant? And then how can we assemble this in the most cost-efficient way? And again, just some pictures, because I don't want to dwell on this particularly, but what we're talking about is setting up new facilities, manufacturing facilities, to manufacture these different modules that we have. And then all of these modules will be transported to our site assembly factory, which is covered, so we're protected from the weather, and then we can actually build our modules, assemble our modules into the overall power station on site. So again, this is taking proven technology, but delivering it in a new way that actually means that it becomes economically viable. And again, just some more examples of some of the types of modules that we have. And what's it for? Julia described very well what nuclear is for. It's for electricity, but it's not just for electricity. A lot of the world's decarbonisation needs more than just electricity. We're talking about making different types of fuels for synthetic aviation fuel, which, as you would imagine, for aircraft is something that Rolls-Royce is very interested in. So we need vast quantities of synthetic fuels for the aircraft industry, also for the marine industry. We need hydrogen for all sorts of different applications. We're looking at district heating and cooling. We talked about direct air capture. So there are so many different uses for this type of low carbon power and the heat and the electricity that nuclear can produce. And actually, there are many, many customers that are looking at this power. So when we talk about grid electricity, obviously the government and the national infrastructure is really important, but there are huge numbers of industries that are looking for solutions to decarbonise their industrial landscape. And actually, most of those are looking at heat or electricity needs. And they have done the maths for themselves, and they've realised that actually they can only go so far with wind and solar. So actually, they've come to the conclusion if they really want to decarbonise their sector, they're going to have to go nuclear. And now they're looking at, well, how can we do that? And that's where SMRs in particular can step in, because SMRs, being smaller in size and lower power output and more flexibly, can be more flexibly placed. So they can actually go in places where large nuclear can't go at the moment. And they can support more industrial sectors to decarbonise, or they can be used very much to replace existing coal or gas infrastructure. So actually, they can be used for a complete variety of things. So what are the challenges? So today we're here talking about the challenges of nuclear and going for nuclear. And again, we aren't complacent about what we're trying to do, but the challenges are not around licensing. So everyone talks about, oh, nuclear is difficult to license. Actually, if you make a design decision to use standard technology, pressurized water reactor technology that almost every regulator in the world knows and understands and already uses, and if you make the decision to use standard fuel, actually your licensing risk is particularly low. And obviously we're very fortunate in the UK, as a UK company with experience of designing nuclear plant in the UK, we understand the UK regulatory regime very well. But we're not just designing this plant for the UK, we're designing it for the world. But licensing is not particularly a risk. Manufacturing, is manufacturing a risk? Well, not really to Rolls-Royce. We've had 60 odd years of making nuclear plants for the submarines program, and we've had over 100 years of manufacturing complex products for industry, not just in the UK and around the world. So manufacturing is not really what we would consider a risk. And construction, again, construction is not what we would consider a risk, or assembly as we call it in our process. So we're not thinking of assembly as a problem. We understand that the plant is actually designed for ease of assembly. And also, we're using assembly techniques that our construction partners use readily today in other sectors. So we're not inventing something new. We're taking technology that's used in other sectors and bringing it to the nuclear sector. And also, for us, the challenge is not really financial as well. So again, $2 billion for a power station is obviously an awful lot of money, but actually, it's a value that is investable, we believe is investable on the open market. On the standard market, and and because we have delivery certainty, again, it makes it a more attractive prospect for either financial investors or for companies and industries who are looking for a solution to their power needs. So money's not necessarily the challenge that we have. So what do we see as the challenges coming for us? Sites. The UK has designated a certain number of sites for nuclear at the moment. Great. Can we please know which ones we're going to be allocated, same as other nuclear technologies that want to build new sites? We need to know very quickly which sites that we can use so we can get on and develop those projects. We also need more sites. And this is not just an issue in the UK. Of course, we want to build on the sites that exist at the moment, but our prospective customers, the usually industrial customers, actually, they want SMRs near to their own facilities. They want more sites to be allocated. So we need lots more sites to be allocated. The other thing we need is faster site permitting. So again, even though you have a site and you've been through your generic licensing, obviously you need to go through your site-specific licensing and your site permitting. And we all know, and poor Julia knows this better than any of us, I think, how long that process takes.
Eight years.
If we can manufacture two or four plants per year in our facilities, but then we have to have them sat waiting before we can actually build, then we completely destroy the economics of the manufacturing approach. So if we really want to speed this up, we need to understand how to do site permitting as fast as we can manufacture. And we're not talking about cutting corners, because in the manufacturing process, you don't cut corners, because then you wouldn't have a product that works. What you do is you find the most efficient way to get the result that you need. So collectively as an industry, it's one of the things with government that we're all looking at in terms of how we can move forward with site permitting. And then the final challenge that we have, and that this may be sound strange, given that we haven't actually built our first plant yet, but our real concern is scale. The demand that we see from within the UK and outside the UK in terms of the export market, specifically to support decarbonisation and the energy security needs around the world, is vast. And we have significant interest in near-term deployment, not just in the UK and outside. So the question for us is, how fast can we scale up our manufacturing facilities to be able to deliver and support the demand that we see coming in? And that's something we're already starting to tackle, even as we set up our first facilities, is how do we manage the growth that we see in this market. So hopefully I've given you a little bit of an overview of what we're doing and the challenges we face, and I look forward to answering any questions you might have. Thank you very much.